Jesus answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." The Canaanite woman said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." Let us look at today's lesson as a continuation of last Sunday's lesson, in which Jesus made his disciples go to the other side, crossing the Sea of Galilee in a violent storm. Moving from what was familiar and comfortable to what was unknown and strange was not an easy endeavor for them. In today's lesson, we see Jesus and disciples clearly in the land of the other, Tyre and Sidon, in southern Phoenicia, quite far from home. It was a Gentile territory, an archetype of Israel's enemies, who are subjects of demons and demonic powers. For the Jewish people of the first century, the land of Tyre and Sidon represented the boogeyman. In this strange land, they came across a Gentile woman of great faith in the God of Israel. Finding this woman being Gentile was no surprise, because they are in the land of the Gentiles. It's kind of like an American tourist in Germany not surprised by seeing all the Volkswagen cars there. What was surprising, though, was the Gentile woman's deep faith in the same God of Israel, their arch enemy. It made them question their own preconceived notions of the other. Her faith in the God of Israel prompted Jesus to say, "Woman, great is your faith," an affirmation Jesus couldn't say about Peter, as we read in last Sunday's lesson, in which he said to the drowning Peter, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" This story of Jesus' encounter with the other prompted me to ask, who is worthy of God's favor and mercy? Who has access to help and healing? Can only certain people have faith in God? And does God favor only certain people? Isn't God's salvation universal? And does God have a priority list? The initial dialogue Jesus had with this woman seemed utterly uncharacteristic of Jesus, that the Jesus that we come to know from the scriptures. Where is the radical welcome Jesus is known for in this back and forth with this woman? The disciples always served as a buffer between Jesus and the undesirables. They tried to keep them out. Women, children, Samaritans, tax collectors, prostitutes, and sinners. Our gospel lesson tells us that the Canaanite woman was able to break through the buffer and pleaded with Jesus to heal her daughter. "Send her away," said the disciples. Even Jesus went along with the disciples and mouthed the standard Jewish understanding of who was in and who was out. Yet, undeterred, she kept pleading for mercy and healing. Her faith in the universality of salvation offered by the God of Israel was such that even the crudeness of the analogy Jesus used comparing her to the dogs did not turn her away. Rather, it only buoyed her to be more persistent. Such was her faith that Jesus, enlarging his own vision of the kingdom, heal her daughter and welcome her into the household of faith. This gospel lesson gives us a role model for faith in this Canaanite Gentile woman, who despite all the odds against her, won the heart of Jesus. Moreover, it is a gospel declaring to us that God's love is available for the asking to every one of his children, every tribe, every race, every hue, every sex, every sexual orientation, the young and the old, the saints and sinners, the exalted and the lowly. The gospel asks us today, who is it that we find it difficult to like or accept? Who is it that we find it difficult to like or accept? Can we any more instinctively say, you are in and you are out? This gospel challenges all our petty divisions and our boundaries. God's love has no boundaries. However, unfortunately, our theology does. Our understanding of God has borders due to the particularities of our context, such as our race, our ethnicity, religion, history, gender and gender preferences, what we know and what we don't know. All these make our theology of God limited. We box God within the confines of our narrow preconceived notions. Whom does God's love include? It is a pertinent question for the first century Christian community of Matthew. Those people lived the tension of the story, the tension Jesus and the disciples faced on that day in Tyre and Sidon. God pushed the envelope of God's inclusion of the other right in front of Jesus. It is a pertinent question to people in India, where Hindus, Muslims, Jains, Sikhs, Buddhists, and Christians live in close proximity to each other. Can the Christians in India claim that God loves only them? Mahatma Gandhi, though a Hindu and a Gentile, who, like the Canaanite woman of our gospel story, certainly led a better Christian life than some of his Christian British occupiers. According to our theology, Gandhi may be out of God's favor, but would he be out of the universality of God's embracing arms of love? Whom does God's love include? It may not be a pertinent question for us who live in North America, because for all our language of tolerance and pluralism, we are never forced to interact to any degree with people too different from ourselves. So we can keep any uneasiness at arm's length. It is said in North America, the most segregated time of the week is Sunday morning, when Christians gather to worship. We worship with our own kinds, don't we? Whenever we hear people saying about the good old days and how we used to follow the Judeo-Christian values, friends, it is a code for exclusion. It is disparaging the immigrants who came to our shores more recently, whether Muslim, Middle Eastern, poor, or Canaanite for that matter. We can keep our take on the world intact, even in a global village, Even in the worldwide family of God, we can stick to our views and our pews. We at St. Peter's may be an exception. You have a priest who is kind of the other, who is different from you, at least in look, color, accent, ethnicity, and our congregation is becoming more and more diverse. However, by and large, we are more likely to see the other outside the church. See, Jesus did not meet the Canaanite woman in the synagogue or in the church. He met her on the streets of Tyre and Sidon. At St. Peter's, we are making every attempt to meet the other, the stranger, the one who looks different from us in class, color, creed, and status in our streets in Phoenixville and its hidden neighborhoods. We are attempting to meet them and provide them the hospitality in our church on days other than Sundays. We are attempting to meet the other by going across the border like Jesus and the disciples did, by going to Tyre and Sidon. We meet the other in the favelas, in the barrios, and the base communities of El Salvador. Friends, we should read this gospel, this story, from outside the church walls, because outside also means outside some of our most cherished assumptions. As a church committed to be missional, we at St. Peter's cannot restrict our ministry of proclamation to the interiors of the church. God's grace has gone beyond in spite of us. God is calling us forward to the other side, from the other side, and He keeps on pushing the envelopes on us. Let us meet Christ's strange habitations of broad mercy, deep love, and great faith by going beyond the four walls of this sanctuary.